Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I guess I'm going to ask you right off the bat, how excited are you about building a new culture of Patriots football and being here for the start maybe of something different?
I'm excited. I think we have a great group of guys. Just in the locker room. I think it's been like that for years. Obviously, you know, we had probably the greatest football player ever on our team. You know, people really didn't look at the leadership and different guys you had in the locker room. So I know everyone's kind of like, what's going to happen? Everything's brand new. But I don't really see it like that. I see it just a continuance of what we've been doing and guys assuming the kind of same leadership roles. When you look at myself, Slater, Jules, Chung, all those guys have been there 10-plus years. So we just have to continue to do what we've been doing.
Normally, I would say shut that kid up, but I think we've all got kids running around our ankles these days, so I'll give him a pass on that one. Devin McCourty meeting the media yesterday on a conference call. This whole topic. And it's hour number three, Felger and Mads, presented by DraftKings here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports. Boston, Murray and I from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester, Mads on remote. This whole storyline, Mads, and you've been big on it, that the buy-in from Brady has been huge in setting that culture there over the years. And now that that's gone, that's going to be a tough thing for them to overcome. Do you still believe that?
I do. Yeah, I do, because their best player had full and complete confidence in the coach. And the best player was the quarterback, which is no small thing. So he was the most glamorous position in the league, the most highly paid position in the league. I think it's a huge factor, and I think it's going to be incumbent, critical for Bill to get the next guy to do that.
Okay. I think that's true, Maz, when you talk about the balance of Brady's 20 years here. If you average it all out, yes, that was an important factor. How was it the last couple of years?
Not good. Last year in particular, I would put an emphasis on. The year before wasn't great. But I will say that at the end of the year, when they started to get at nut-cutting time, that Brady got dialed in, they started running the ball, and the emphasis was put on winning, and Brady bought in again. I would say at the very end, Brady bought in again. This year, it never happened at all.
Yep. So
Really just 1 year, because the buy-in ended up happening. They win that Super Bowl in 2018. Last year it was bad.
2018, I'm sorry. Yeah, they won it. They were 11-5.
They got lucky.
And they weren't all that great. I mean, they were good, and they were certainly good when they had to be. But come on, the offense started to go down. Some of these things with Brady started to happen that you saw last year. And somehow, by some miracle, 11-5 was good for a bye, and then they won the coin flip in overtime. And, you know, so, like, I mean, I don't want to totally diminish it, but it all started to creep in 2019. This is all a long way of saying this new culture of Patriots football and this having to, you know, recreate the buy. I think it's overstated, Maz, just because the last couple of years, I don't think Brady bought in. I don't think Brady bought in the last couple of years.
And okay, but Mike, hold on one second, because, again, do you acknowledge that at the end of 2018, he bought in?
Well, yeah, I mean, they started playing well and they were winning, but I still think he hated Bill, and I mean, it didn't get him to OTAs a couple months later. He was still the same guy, still the same thing.
Okay, but again, he didn't, you know, he wasn't throwing his hands up at the end of the year when all of a sudden they started playing better. And then, you know, once they hit the playoffs and he had some confidence in the operation, he bought in.
Sure. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I mean,
so I draw, and I'm not telling you they weren't lucky, because they were. They got a huge break. If they didn't get that buy, it might very well not have gone the way it did.
I'm not sure he was buying in, Maz. I just think they were winning. He thought they could win. And so he was engaged, but did he feel any differently about his contract, his situation, his relationship with the coach, his environment? I don't think so. I think he's been in roughly the same place the last 2 years, which is sort of less than fully engaged. And so this thing about that you're right about, you know, for, you know, the old Brady, sure. Yes, the old Brady. Full buy-in, full confidence, first one in, last one out. You set that sort of culture and you have that sort of talent. You win at that level. That is an invaluable sort of tone-setting thing, and they're going to miss that. They're going to miss Brady from 2001 through 2016. I don't know, where, you know, wherever you want to draw the line. But the last couple of years, I mean, he didn't take less money. You know, he there was battles over his contract each of the last 2 years, to the point where he almost walked out of camp last year. Okay, to the point where he said, "You better make me a free agent next year, or else." He, again, didn't show up in the offseason, which I hate to keep bringing up, but I am sorry, is such a wretched look for the starting quarterback not to show to passing camp. He's the only guy in the, every a-hole quarterback in the league shows up for that. And he was the one guy that didn't. And then you get to the season and they're winning and he's pouting. And they're putting up W's, but his receivers aren't where he wants them to be, and he's showing them up on the field and then throwing dirt on him off the field. So what sort of culture, what sort of tone setting are they going to have to account for from Brady the last couple of years? My contention is the last couple of years, he hasn't been the same guy in that regard. So it's really not that big of an adjustment. They've been having to do it without that Brady for a long time.
Okay, but I'm not arguing that it was here this past year, because it wasn't success here this past year. In fact, in a lot of ways, I would say that proves the point, that when Brady stopped buying in, now Bill had a bit of a problem. And look, they went 12-4. I'm not telling you that's awful, but How did it affect N'Keal Harry? How did it affect Jacoby Myers? Did they feel like a team that was in sync, particularly on offense during the course of the year? Because I would say no. And I just think that a lot of their ability to attain the stuff that they were able to attain is because Brady stayed bought in. I'm not defending 2019. That's what I'm here to tell you. In fact, I think 2019 in a lot of ways is an example of what will happen if Brady didn't buy in.
Exactly.
So now, look, going forward, will the next guy buy in? Sure. I mean, Jarrett Stidham has no choice. He'll buy in. He's looking to make it in the league. But Brady was the best player in the league and in the history of the league, and he bought in. I just think that that was a huge, huge part of it.
Last year, yes, over the 20 years. Last year, I think if anything, his presence hurt those young receivers.
Agreed.
And I'm not talking about the ability. I'm talking about
The attitude.
I think those guys lack some confidence. I mean, you remember the quotes from Jacoby Myers and who was the other guy? Maybe it was Gunner. I don't know. Whatever.
It was Olszewski. Yeah, it was Olszewski.
Another suckbag.
Yeah, I'm not telling these guys are Jerry Rice, but, you know, you'd hear them say things like, yeah, the ball was coming to me from Tom, and I knew if I didn't catch it, I'd never see it again. So I was really nervous about it. It's like, you know, Brady's whole presence was not a value add for that team last year. It wasn't. His play was, his ability was, but the thing you're talking about, the culture of Tom Brady, I don't think what he was last year and the way he carried himself helped matters. I think if anything, it hurt some of those young guys.
Yeah, maybe some of those guys, but they are what they are, and it's not like he infected the defense, who was way overconfident and giving themselves stupid nicknames and making T-shirts early in the season.
Good point. That's a good point. But offensively, I just don't think culture-wise they're replacing much in terms of last year. And the creeping started the year before, but certainly I'm really more focused on last year. And when McCourty says there, you know, not everything's brand new. I don't see it that way. We still have Slater, myself, Chung, Jules. I'm with them until you get to Jules. Because Jules worries me, you know, because he's got his nose, again, so far up Brady's butt crack. I think Julian Edelman has forgotten who he plays for, who signs his checks, and, you know, who his loyalty should be to. And they should be to Bill and the Patriots and all of that thing. And so I'm concerned about Jules, and I'm concerned about the offensive leadership in general. Like, who's that? Like, defense is plenty. They have the McCourtys. And special teams is bursting at the seams with Rudy's and, you know, little go-getters will run down the field and cover a punt. Like, and, you know, rah, like, give Bill everything he needs. I'm not worried about special teams, and the defensive leadership should be there with the McCourtys. Who's the guy on offense?
Well, in theory, it should be Edelman. I mean, and again, I say it should be. Not that, and I don't even mean in terms of a rah-rah, you know, in terms of an intangible. I mean it as, this is part of the reason I want them to keep Edelman, is because if Edelman is focused and he is on board, he really could help bring Stidham along.
Yes.
I think that's a huge part of his responsibility now. And so, look, if Bill can tap into that and say, look, I understand here, but we need you to buy in and appeal to Edelman on that level. And I don't know whether Edelman can do it or not. I have the same concerns. But there's value there if Edelman can become that guy and lead the quarterback along.
Has to be the guy. And
he seemingly squashed, you know, whatever concerns he might have had. There was that Instagram post, I think, just 2 days ago where it's him in a Patriots uniform, says, like, Patriots forever. And, in fact, Jared Stidham even commented on it, like, LFG,
okay.
Let's up and go.
So how did you feel about that, Stidham, then? And now we got to, I feel like a 14-year-old girl where we're, you know.
Well, this is the age we're living in.
It's unbelievable, you know, reading into the tone on this freaking Snapchat. But, okay, so be it. This is the world we now live in. Stidham giving him the sausage emoji there. It was the LFG was, you know,
which is Brady's tagline.
Let's effing go. When I saw that from Stidham, I said, "Oh well, you think you're the guy, don't you?" Like I
don't
know.
Oh, that's exactly what it is.
So Stidham's taking that role. Like, okay, Jules, you and me, let's go. Well, you assume you got the job there, kid. Like, I don't know. Did I feel fully great about that?
Oh, I do. I think I want to know that he's confident. I do.
I kind of like it. I do.
Is that his place to give him the LFG?
Go ahead, Murray. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. Is that his place?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's, you know, they've set this up that he is going to be the guy. Hoyer, thankfully, he's going to be the backup, not the starter. Maybe early, just to maybe push him a little bit. But no, I think this is set up for Stidham to be the guy. He's feeling confident. I want to know that he's confident. You want confidence emanating from your quarterback. So, yeah, I think it's a good thing.
I'm just saying, here's the bottom line. This culture void that they're going to go through with Brady's loss, they've been dealing with for over a year now to begin with. The culture void from Brady did not start this week. It started last year, maybe even a little bit before then. And so they've been dealing with that for a while. It's not going to be this massive drop off in culture that you might think, because the massive drop off in culture happened over a year ago. That's my point.
Okay, so again, I'm not disputing that part of it. And I want to keep it in context. My point was, over the years it worked for Bill because Brady bought in. And I thought he was able to sell his bullcrap to a lot of the other guys because he could point to the best player in the league. Last year, Brady didn't buy in. But, Mike, I also said to you, I don't want to lose Brady and McCourty in the same offseason for this reason. This is why Bill loves McCourty, and this is why every Patriots fan should love McCourty, because McCourty is precisely the kind of guy who, after Bill Belichick and Tom Brady break up, McCourty will stand there and say, I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about. My job's the same as it always been. I still believe we have the same culture. And Slater's obviously another one. And I'll tell you, I'm glad McCourty mentioned him, because I think Chung, in a lot of ways, is the same kind of guy.
Sure.
And so, I never mentioned Chung. We always talk about Slater and McCourty because their contracts were up. But Chung's a similar type of guy that would stick his head in the mouth of a lion to block a punt. Okay, he would absolutely do that and buy in. So, again, that side of the ball, to me, was critical to keep those guys. And if this allows them to get some of their culture back, then that's a good thing. They had the absolute biggest prize in the world with Brady because they had the best player in the league who also established the culture.
Okay, I promise, to your phones right after this Brady conversation. We start with baseball and how Major League Baseball is going to adjust if and when they ever come back. We can weigh in on that as well with your calls right after this.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield. Field.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay him.
A 98.5 to Sports Hub.
Now, some in the media are calling this a divorce from Belichick and the Patriots. Is that fair or is that a total misrepresentation?
I think it's just change. I don't know that it's a force or change. I just think, you know, 40 years together is a long time.
Yes, it is.
It's like being married 50 years.
And so, you know, I mean, I can't tell you the hundreds of times that Tommy has said Bill is the best coach in football. I mean, he's just the Tommy sings Bill's praises. So the war sounds a little bit harsh. I think it's a separation. You know, Bill's got a lot of responsibilities to keep the Patriots on track, and that is a bigger responsibility than keeping Tommy under the hood. So you know, both of them are mature individuals, and I really respect Bill's decision and respect Tommy's decision as well. It's okay to take different paths. You don't have to stay joined at the hip.
Again, Tom Brady Sr. If Tom Brady Jr. was a little reserved in his teleconference in Tampa the other day, his father was floating on air.
Tonality-wise, he sounds a lot like him in that clip. There was times that he laughs like him.
Oh, sure, but I think Tom Brady Sr. psyched.
No doubt.
So you can really tell that I think the camp was pushing Brady to, you know, screw Bill. And, you know, I mean, everything he said there makes sense, except, you know... 20 years is a long time, and it's okay to go your separate paths, but what if where you're at is so incredibly successful? So you give yourself a worse chance to win just because you feel the need to change? I mean, I don't know. Again, is that the right reason too? So we're continuing with your thoughts on this and everything else. Mark in Boston, bring us back.
How you doing, guys? Just because you guys touched on it quickly, I think you got to get Jules out of here. He didn't want to work with Jimmy G when Brady was suspended, and I don't trust him with Stidham. That said, Kraft, way too late. So Brady wants to be appreciated, whatever. 2014, he gets accused of deflating balls. Kraft goes all in, and then at the last minute, pulls the rug out. And Brady, you're on your own. And I think that's where Brady goes, I don't think they got me the way I do. Now, granted, he traded Garoppolo, kept Gronk, but he never forced Bill to give him a contract. So I think Brady looks at Kraft, too, and goes, huh, you're doing all this, but you still won't pay me. And even, what was it, last OTA or whenever he showed up? And
said, Mark, so let me just, I mean, I wouldn't blame Brady if he felt that way. I wouldn't be surprised if he felt that way. He's not showing it. I mean, he goes over to his house, they share tears. You know, it still feels like Brady and Kraft are good. And Brady doesn't blame Kraft the way he blames Belichick. It doesn't feel like to me. I mean, that just goes back to because Kraft kisses his ass? Because Kraft says the right things? Is that all Brady was looking for? Again.
Probably part of it, yeah.
I have no use for that. I mean, Robert's a notorious sweet talker. A notorious blow smoke up your ass kind of guy. Notorious. And so, but that's all it takes for Brady? Like, really? Like, come on. I mean, it wasn't just Bill that was stiffing on the contracts. It was the guy that was signing the checks, too. I mean, that's the guy ultimately responsible. How come Brady doesn't hold that against him, but he holds it against Bill?
I mean, don't you think, though, that in private moments, especially given, you know, how candid Brady's father has been over the years with some of the stuff anyway, certainly not candid now, that Brady's father said to him, hey, listen, don't forget, the owner could overrule him, and he is not going to come to your rescue this time either. Like, I have to believe Brady's not saying it publicly, but part of him has to look at it and say, yeah, overall, he was good to me, so fine, but he wasn't going to pay me at the end either.
So, I hope he feels that way. That's just a little more authentic.
Consistent.
Yeah, right. Consistent is what I meant. Thank you. That was the word I was looking for. Consistent. And, incisive to understand it's not just Belichick. The first thing the caller said about Jules abandoned Garoppolo, he didn't on the field. Off the field, I remember Julian Edelman and Garoppolo. You know, Jules was sort of cold shoulder-ish and didn't really throw a lot of bouquets at Jimmy Garoppolo because, again, his nose is so far up Brady's backside that he can't even smell this. You know, he can't even smell the flowers. So, but he was so afraid of pissing off Brady that he never said anything about Garoppolo. That I firmly remember.
Oh yeah, and he was showing up to events. I remember being at Boston Calling. He shows up and just free Brady. And I'm like, oh, this kind of like, oh okay. God, dude. He's
meanwhile,
not in
though,
prison.
Week one at Arizona, 7 targets, 7 catches, 66 yards. That great second week game against Miami. 10 targets, 7 catches, 76 yards. So I'm missing one in there, but those were the two. He must have missed one because his next one is what was the one in between? No, it was just Arizona and Miami, wasn't it?
Right, that's it. Yep, that's it.
Well, anyway, he was there. He was there for him, Arizona and Miami. 17 targets, 14 catches, a buck 43 yards. So when it came to on the field, Edelman was there. And I expect him to be there for Stidham as well. Now he's going to have to add the off-field component, Jules. There's no longer, I don't want you with those puppy dog eyes looking down to Tampa and Tommy and all of that. You got to give Stidham the love on the field, off the field, the whole thing. That's the expectation.
I mean, maybe this is why Bill's going to keep him. I mean, aside from because he believes that he'll do what he did with Garoppolo. Because, again, those numbers are pretty striking, Mike. 17 targets, 14 catches, 7 a game. I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I remember that it worked with them. Let me ask you this, Maz. Who are the offensive captains next year?
I would say Edelman is one of them. And if he's back, I would go with David Andrews.
That's a good one.
That's what I have, yeah. And Tooney.
I'll give you another. Well, Tooney's a good one, too. And the other one I would consider is James White.
I mean, center, yes, I'll take as a team captain. You start rolling out your guards as team captains.
It hasn't missed a game in 3 years. They just franchised him. I mean, I get it. Positionally, it doesn't really make that much sense, but...
There's a big leadership void on offense. I'll just say that. Defense, I still think they're fine. With Hightower, even Stephon Gilmore, guys who've been there, won, knows what it takes. Even with all their losses on defense, they still have plenty of it on that side of the ball. Offensively, Edelman better be the guy, man. He better. Or else it'll piss me off. Shay and Winthrop. Go ahead, Shay. Or Shah.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Shah.
Hi. Thanks, guys, for being on the air.
Pleasure.
Let's go in. I just want to make a note on Montana's comments about Brady, and this all started after the Philly Super Bowl and with Bill Belichick tying Tom Brady's hands, and all the players have jumped ship. Even Danny Shelton took less money to go somewhere else. And I'm going to leave you with this nugget, even though I've had to listen to Maz all week. Gronk going to the Buccaneers.
Okay, they're going to have to trade him. So I don't know if how eager they'll be to do that. But players jumping ship because of the Malcolm Butler thing, I don't buy it. Sorry. I don't. And did Danny Shelton take less money to go to, where'd he go?
Detroit.
Are you sure are we sure he took less money?
I don't know about that.
No idea.
Yeah. There was one guy Landon Roberts who allegedly took less money? So, like that I get, Landon Roberts, they're probably offering him a real role in the defense. Where here he was a part-time linebacker, a part-time fullback, and maybe Brian Flores says, I think you're a starter, and you're going to get starter reps and all of this. Money opportunities, why they leave or why they come. The vast, vast, vast majority of time. Money and opportunity.
I don't know what I did to piss off that lady.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure what she's talking about.
Me neither. I don't know what I did.
Bill in Arlington. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Long story short, I'll be brief. Allow yourself to imagine this as a possibility. And after the New Orleans flag that never was called against the Rams. I completely believe that pro sports is rigged. Anyway, Belichick gets the Pats to the Super Bowl this year. Brady gets Tampa Bay to the Super Bowl. It's what everybody wants. The NFL wants the ratings. They will have such insane ratings through the AFC and NFC championship game, the divisional games. I mean, it would be the biggest pressure cooker in all of sports history to absolutely, if that were to absolutely occur.
And goes without saying. Biggest grudge match in sports history.
That'd be great. You know. Oh, my gosh. If that ever were to happen. Like, I have doubts about the Patriots' ability to pull that one off at the moment, but, oh, my gosh, what a story that would be.
It's just such an obvious point. I mean, just to this point, what's been the biggest grudge match in sports history? You know, there's some good Shaq-Kobe stuff. Remember when Shaq won it in Miami? He's like, Kobe, how's my ass taste? Remember?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But they never really squared off against each other, did they?
I don't think so. No, not in any
championship. I don't think so either. No.
So what, you know, heretofore, what's been the biggest grudge match in sports history?
I mean, you could maybe make a case for when Gruden went to Tampa and then ended up playing his former team, the Raiders, that year in the Super Bowl.
That's one of them.
That game was terrible.
That's one of them.
I have to think about that. I don't know. That's a toughie. There's got to be a boxing match somewhere in there. I don't know if that qualifies.
And I'm not talking like rivalry. I'm not talking like Red Sox-Yankees or, you know, Bruins-Montreal. I'm talking about this thing, like former teammates, former coach, player. You had a personality conflict where they had a divorce and one guy went somewhere, the other guy went the other place, and they met. And it was, you know, like...
Yeah, that 0-2 Super Bowl comes to mind. But other than that...
Yeah, it'd obviously be the biggest in sports history. I think we can all agree on that. Here's Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Mazz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Mazz.
You guys do a great show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Back, Felger and Mazz. Presented by DraftKings. I'm telling you, I feel like there's just a little groundswell against Brady that I wasn't necessarily anticipating. Derek emails in, subject line, Brady's bleep attitude. Spells it out. Says, just this past year, the way he was acting about his young receivers is when I realized and admitted to myself that he was already gone. It was very un-Brady-esque. That was his way of setting the stage to have a reason to leave, to make the team look bad, as if they hadn't tried their best to get him help. That's an interesting point, right? Like, haven't we all this time, and a lot of the Bradyites have thrown out, Bill purposely left the offense high and dry to make Brady look bad, so when he moved on from him, Brady would look good? Is it at all possible that Brady's crap attitude towards his receivers to try and make them look bad, so when he left, he could say, see, they've surrounded me by nothing? And so him not putting in the work with those guys and him not being fully invested in those guys served his agenda because it made it look like those guys can't play. And this is just occurring to me as I'm reading this. You can tell in my voice that I've had like an epiphany that was Brady playing the same game Bill was, setting up the departure and trying to blame the other side.
No, those guys suck.
Let's see. That's one of the things I'm looking forward to this year, Murray.
I don't fear that at all. I'll be proven right there. Those guys. Well, so
I don't think it was deliberate, but I think it had the same effect. I mean, you know, Brady clearly did not believe in the players. And, like, I don't think he deliberately sat there and said, you know what? I'm going to suck or make these guys look like they're worse than they are so I can pin it on Bill at the end of the year. Like, I don't think it was deliberate, but I think that effectively that's what happened.
Well, but you understand that's what the Brady camp is saying Bill did. The Brady right. camp is saying Bill purposely surrounded him with lousy weapons, even though Bill drafted a receiver in the first round.
Whiffed.
Paid $15 million for one of the best receivers in the league and one of the worst human beings in the league. And right. then when that failed, sent a second round pick for another number one or number two receiver.
Which Tom wanted. That one I'll give you. Tom picked the wrong guy. But then again, Bill shouldn't have had him returning punts, and that's how he got hurt in the first place.
So Bill purposely had him returning punts to get him hurt so Brady wouldn't have him?
Well, Bill had to have Gunnar Olszewski, so, you know, and then he got hurt, so he didn't have a punt returner, so he left himself bare
so,
there.
So you
more,
believe...
That's more bad roster management by the coach, yeah.
So, look, I think Bill had some whiffs personnel-wise. The question is, do you think it was intentional, Murray? Do you really think Bill intentionally?
No. I just think when it comes to drafting wide receivers, you don't know what the hell he's doing.
Okay, so that's fair. But the Brady camp thinks part of it was intentional.
Oh, that's silly.
Thank you. Okay.
Because he still went out and got him Antonio Brown.
Right, he still went and got the guys. But listen, if you're going to play that game and tell me that the Patriots intentionally did that to intentionally make Brady look worse so the departure would be, you know, they'd be on firmer ground publicly, then could you say the same thing about Brady? Because I'm sorry, there was a time when Jacoby Myers and Brady would have worked together. Like, that would have been a good marriage. That they would have, Brady would have worked with that kid, pumped that kid up, fed that kid. And, you know, as raw as he was and as perfect as he was, that would have been, they would have had a thing. And now it's like he couldn't be bothered. Couldn't be bothered. And I'm curious, Murray. I don't totally agree that Jacoby Myers sucks. I want to see him. And you know what? That might be, if Bill wants to prove a point, boy, he'll make Jacoby Myers a good player.
Feed him.
Right?
Just like, keep throwing it.
Feed him. Yeah. If you feed that kid, that sort of proves your point. See, Brady had checked out. Brady wouldn't work with these young guys. What am I supposed to do? I gave him the talent. I gave him the guys, but he acted like he was above it. How do I know that? Because now I have Jared Stidham, and Jacoby Myers is a real player. I mean, that's one way to prove a point, isn't it?
Oh, I don't think there's any question that Bill would love to see that happen. And again, there were times where... Look, Brady's attitude sucked last year. I don't know that there were many people that can defend that part of it. And so he really did. His attitude, I think, was a negative. And in a lot of ways, it hurt the cause. So I find it interesting the other day as we were talking about this that Bruce Arians said, you know, Tom Brady's the kind of guy that'll make other people better. And I found myself thinking as he said that, well, I don't know if that's true anymore. He certainly didn't do it here last year.
It's been a while. True. It's been a while for that. But I still think Brady has it in it. You know, I think he can turn that faucet back on in a second. You know, show up, invest, show some faith, look for him, feed him, and, you know, bring along a guy that you might think's beneath you, but, you know, is your teammate at the end of the day. And I think that's just purely an attitude adjustment that Brady could turn around in 1 second, and he probably will. There's probably some scrub in Tampa right now he'll take a liking to and we'll work with. And the next thing you know, we'll be talking about Harry Schmedlap and his 60-something catches. We had never heard of him before just because Brady decided to work with him. I wouldn't be surprised one bit if I see that.
Oh, that's probably coming.
And I wouldn't be surprised one bit if Belichick makes Stidham feed Jacoby Myers. And the next thing, Jacoby Myers becomes the next slot machine, the next guy that's 60, 70 catches and a, you know, reliable little possession guy. That wouldn't surprise me.
The suck bag tight ends, too. Like, all of a sudden, Matt LaCosse is a player.
They're all trying to prove their point, right?
It's going to it wouldn't surprise me. Again, it wouldn't surprise me if you see that with the tight ends. Look, we saw it with Myers when he was out on the field with Stidham. It worked. I mean, those two worked.
Here's a Renato and Dedham on the Patriots' leadership void. Go ahead, Renato.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for taking out this opportunity. I needed a break from, figuring out whose turn it is on Fortnite. I'm going to lose my mind. But this hit me the other day. Now that Brady, and let's say his perfunctory leadership role, due to it's like 6 rings, is out the door, does this motivate guys like McCourty, Slater, Hightower, maybe Edelman even more, and they look at this opportunity as empowering to their personal careers?
Yes.
And be influencers in a new football environment where if Brady was still here, they would have never had this opportunity.
Yes. Yes, Renato. If you were Belichick, wouldn't you get that group together, Renato? Thanks for the call. Good luck with the kids. Wouldn't you get that group together and say, hey, Devin, Dante, Jules, everybody thinks you're just a product of Brady. You know that, right? Everyone thinks you're nothing. You just had the quarterback, and so that's why you won. You understand that's what people say about you, right? How's that taste? And wouldn't you motivate him like that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
and he will.
Because Bill's motivated like that. I mean, that's what's fueling Bill. I'm more than just the quarterback. Well, get the team to feel that way. Get the players to feel that way. Fortnite. What's the biggest problem in your house, Maz?
Well, that's on the list. I would say that. The caller was very specific about Fortnite in particular. I'd tell you that access to the Xbox is a big issue of contention here in the Maserati household. You know, getting my 15-year-old to walk the dog on time is another issue. And I would say just general personal space issues have I'll tell you what, let me put this in the context of football fans or football for you. What we have here on a daily basis is what I would call the border war. It is constantly fighting over, that's my seat. No, I was sitting there. No, you took my seat. I went into the kitchen. How come you took my seat? I was sitting there. You took my seat. Mommy took my seat. Daddy took my seat. He stopped me. Why are you touching me? Stop touching me. It's the same thing pretty much on a nightly basis in here. Thank goodness the homeschool starting, in our case, in the last 2 days.
My issue is Captain Underpants. I don't know if you've ever had the pleasure of watching.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know it well.
This particular cartoon, but children's cartoons, they've gotten quite obnoxious.
Oh, it's just flashing and bright colors and dumb songs.
My God. How much Captain Underpants can 1 8-year-old watch? That's the issue in my house.
A lot.
Captain Underpants. But anyway, we continue. Enough of that. We continue with your thoughts on this, that MLB issue, and how they're going to jam that schedule in. We'll get to that as well with your calls. Long commercial-free segment is next.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Miss something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Well, I think we need to have a regular season with a credible number of games. I think we should have a postseason format that focuses on providing the most possible entertaining product to our fans at a very, very difficult time in our history. And overall, I think our goal is to play as many baseball games as we possibly can, given the limitations associated with the public health concerns.
Is there a round number for reasonable? 100? I mean, what's a reasonable number in your mind?
Look, I think that the exact number that we'll see as reasonable is going to depend on when we get the go-ahead to play.
Of course.
I don't have some absolute number in my mind that's a make or break. I think we have to evaluate the situation. I also think that we need to be creative in terms of what the schedule looks like, what the postseason format looks like. You know, obviously our fans love a 162-game season and the postseason format that we have. We're probably not going to be able to do that this year. I think that's clear. And it does give us an opportunity to do some different things, to experiment, and to make sure that we provide as many games as possible and as entertaining a product as possible.
Okay, Rob Manfred with Scott Van Pelt on ESPN last night, stating the obvious, they're probably not going to get to 162 games. But he did say in there, our fans love 162 games, which leads to our latest email of the day. Michael writes in, subject line, 162 sucks. Michael says, I recently heard the commissioner make a statement regarding the state of the upcoming season. Close to the end of the statement, he made a startling comment. He basically said he wanted 162 games because the fans liked 162. Let me repeat that, writes Michael. The fans like 162. Michael writes, I have a question, and it's a serious one. What in God's name is he talking about? Nobody likes 162. Not the fans, not the players, not the owners, not the broadcasters. Absolutely no one. I would bet my life that even the great Dan Roach misses a game or two a year these days without feeling sad about it. Michael goes on, I used to be a huge fan, then the games started slowing down to the point where I could take naps in the middle innings and not miss anything. 10 years ago, I started losing about 20% interest in baseball every year, so as of today, I'm roughly down 200% from where I was in my 20s. He says, do you remember those 3D prints that if you stared at long enough, you'd suddenly see an image? I'd rather stare at one of those for 4 hours than take in a full 9-inning game, never mind 162 of those. Major League Baseball sucks. That said, they have an opportunity to do a serious reset and shake things up. I honestly hope they find the ability to get there. T-H-E-I-R. I hope they find the ability to get their collective heads out of their collective asses long enough to make baseball relevant and enjoyable again. The question is, do they even realize what a train wreck their product is? Great email, Mike and Franklin. So, Maz,
nobody wants 162.
Oh, my God, 162. Our fans love 162. Really?
And he, yeah, and again, he also said our fans like 9 innings. They do?
They do.
the idea of, and I can't remember, someone said this to us at one point, that, you know, cricket matches take like 3 days to play, right? Right? Something like that. And then they instituted this new league called 2020 cricket, where they actually play matches in 3 hours. And do you know that they recently signed a television contract worth like $3 billion?
Nice.
Okay. So the point is that baseball should be using that as a model. They should be looking at it saying, no, it's a different world now. We should do this. Meanwhile, you have the commissioner saying, our fans like 9 innings at 162. And I'm sitting there going, no, we don't. Not anymore. Like, what's he thinking?
So what are we looking at here? And hopefully, you know, baseball is not exactly at the forefront of change. But they're going to have to do things this year. So to me, things I would like to see, you know, you sort of mentioned this. Doubleheaders, 7-inning doubleheaders, all in favor.
Love it.
Okay, the amount of games, the fewer the better. You know, I'd like to think they could get to 100. You know, but if they can't, they can't. It's just going to be dependent on, you know, what the experts and the doctors, you know, will allow for, and the governments will allow for. But you know, hopefully they can get to 100. If they can't, they can't. I think there should be an expanded playoff field, because, you know, just the example last year, if there was an 80-game schedule last year, the Washington Nationals would have finished in 10th place in the National League. Meanwhile, because it went to 162, they had a chance to find themselves, get hot, and the next thing you know, they win it all. So if you're going to have fewer games and a smaller sample, I think it's only fair to have more playoff teams. So I'm fine with that, but there should be no more than those one-game play-ins. And just if you want to give some buys, like the division winners get buys, and then you have a whole slew of wild cards that play a one-off, you know, one-and-done tournament to select two or three teams or four teams to go into the, you know, the series round, that's fine. So if you want to expand playoffs, it's fine. But then just be sure you make them just those one-and-done, one-game play-ins. I'm fine with that. I'm also fine with the season going into November, December, and there's some talk about, you know, finding neutral sites. If you're playing a World Series game in late November and you're playing it in Cleveland and Boston, that doesn't exactly work. So
find a dome,
find a warm weather site. I don't totally love that because I think they should just wait and see. Because again, what if the World Series is the Dodgers and Toronto? You don't have to worry about going to a neutral site. So why even, you know, burn that bridge when you get to it? And if there's a team that's in a warm weather city or a dome, they shouldn't have to go somewhere else. And now if there's a New York or a Boston or a Cleveland or a Minnesota that you just can't play November 26th outside, then, you know, I know it's easy for me to say, but, you know, sort of figure it out when you get there.
There's an article on Yahoo about this where other baseball writers brainstormed all these experiments that they could do. And this one I absolutely love. This guy, Chris Quick, says, if this pandemic stretches into August and that's when games start, you need to get games in a month or two. MLB should do a bracket with every single team. The team with the worst record last season, the Tigers, would play a best-of-five series against the Nationals, and we keep moving down until only two teams are left. You could even have a loser's bracket type scenario as well. Essentially, it's August Madness. I would love something like that.
So that feels a little too dramatic to me.
So, look, again, like I don't love the tournament idea. I don't hate it, though, depending on how much time they have left. And, Mike, the one thing I don't want to see is to have it spill into November and December. And I'll tell you why. Baseball has too much time. They get too much time in general. They get a six-month season. They play every day. The games take 3.5 hours. Like, the whole thing is, it's what they need is to learn how to operate in a smaller window. And so I am all for anything that might give them some quote-unquote training in that regard. Condense the window and make them figure out something that they can then carry forward.
Okay. But we can at least get, I mean, as it is right now, I think Game 7 of the World Series comes on Halloween or November. Hasn't there been some October 31, November 1 baseball?
Yes.
So to get it to, you know, can you just creep it towards Thanksgiving? Would that be the worst thing ever? I mean, I don't know. With the global warming, it's warmer and warmer into these, it's, you know, it's just not as bad as it used to be. For crying out loud, you could have played baseball in this town almost all winter. The way this winter went. Now, of course, as soon as I say that, you'll get a massive snowstorm in November. But I don't know. I don't love the idea of a neutral site World Series unless you absolutely have to.
Okay, now look, if it means doing that in lieu of canceling the rest of the season, then fine. Again, I sort of err on the side of being able to get even a partial season in if you can do that. I believe in that part of it. But I also think that there is an opportunity here for baseball to actually look at ways to condense the product in a way that will help in the long run. Okay, now I'm not saying that they're necessarily going to reduce the schedule to 80 games or anything like that. That's obviously preposterous. But if there's something that can help them speed up the product, whether it's seven-inning doubleheaders or, you know, and not that the pitch clock qualifies in this case, but anything of the like, I would love to see them experiment with it.
Well, so, and here's another thing they might look at. It was suggested by Kenny Rosenthal and Jason Stark. You've heard it before, and that is extra innings where you start with a man on second base. And this is all because if you're going to have fewer off days and jamming in more games and putting more stress on pitching staffs, you can't have, which I think is one of the stupidest things in all of sports. You play 162 games, and you can have a regular season baseball game that goes 18 innings and 6 hours. I mean, it's just absolutely preposterous that there are no end to those regular season games. I mean, I find it so dumb. So, like, they should do that anyway. But do that this year especially because you can't afford to have those super long games and put strains on pitching staffs. So extra innings, every half inning, start with a runner on second base. Easy. Easy peasy.
Love that one, too.
So all those things I think they should be doing. We will continue. You can add that to your list of Patriots thoughts to your calls after Murray's 90-second update. Again, no commercials here.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy, make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.